Good morning. Hopefully you enjoyed those two songs. They came from Pastor Andy's worship set this morning. The rest of that worship set can be found on another link here on Facebook. We did have some technical problems again this morning, but I think we have those most of the way worked out, so praise God for that. Hey, why don't we have a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to some worship music and to hear from your word, Lord. We thank you for the examples of the great cloud of witnesses that we have from both the Old and New Testament that persevered even when times were tough and trusted in you even to the end, even to the bitter end in some cases, Father. I pray that you would bless this time that we have. I pray that you would be glorified in it, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you for joining me this morning. I want to start with talking about just general leadership. I've been in various leadership positions for about the last 20 years, and there's a lot of lessons that you learn in leadership. Some of them are good. Some of them are tough. I think one of the toughest lessons that I've had to learn in leadership is that no matter what you do, not everybody is always happy with your decision. But you've got to make decisions anyway, and you've got to make the decisions that are best for the most people involved. And that's what we see when we come to Daniel chapter 6, I think. Daniel, as you remember, now if you didn't get a chance to watch the video that I put out on Friday, please go back and watch that because there's a lot of things in there that I'm just not going to get a chance to talk about today. But you remember at the end of chapter 5, King Belshazzar was ruling in the place of his father Nabonidus over Babylon. And the writing on the wall happened, and Daniel told Belshazzar that his kingdom had come to an end. And Belshazzar had promised that Daniel, if he was able to interpret the writing on the wall, was going to receive a gold chain, a purple robe, and be made the third highest leader in the kingdom. That third highest is Nabonidus, and then Belshazzar, and then Daniel, okay? That third highest leader lasted all of one night, because that night Belshazzar was killed, and the kingdom went from being the kingdom of Babylon to a small portion of the kingdom of Media Persia, okay? So in one night, that would be like the United States suddenly going from being the United States of America to being some other country in one night, okay? That's a major life change for everybody involved in that nation. King Cyrus of Persia marched on the city of Babylon and took it, and it became part of the Persian Empire. Cyrus then put King Darius in place over the region of Babylonia. So now Cyrus owns the entire known world, essentially, and Darius is placed as king of Babylonia. Within Darius' kingdom, he starts to appoint leaders, almost like presidents of different parts of his country. And out of these three that he chooses, one of them is Daniel. Okay, so now we've got Cyrus, and then we've got Darius, and then we've got three high officials, one of whom is Daniel. And then underneath those three, he appoints 120 satraps over the rest of the kingdom. That would be like governors or maybe mayors of particular areas. And those satraps had to report back to the high officials. Now, as we're going to see at the beginning of Daniel chapter 6, some of those satraps didn't like the idea of reporting back to a Hebrew slave. So let's take a look at Daniel chapter 6. Now, there's four main characters that I want to point out in Daniel chapter 6, all right? One, of course, is Daniel, the righteous person in this situation. And then, of course, if you have a righteous person, a lot of times in the Bible, there's an unrighteous person or people as well. And in this group, it's those satraps that Daniel's leading. And then there's the king who foolishly becomes a pawn in their scheme. And then there's a silent God. Okay? God does not speak in this chapter. However, just because God's not speaking doesn't mean that he's not acting. And we'll see that as we get into the chapter. All right. So, Daniel chapter 6. Excuse me. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one. Excuse me. To whom these satraps should give account. Okay, so again, these 120 were going to have to report back to Daniel and two other high officials. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps. So Daniel, it actually says, because of an excellent spirit that was in him. So Daniel very quickly distinguishes himself as the best ruler of these three rulers that have been appointed. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. All right, so now Darius is thinking, well, Daniel is obviously the best leader of the three. And if I just appoint him as leader of the high officials and all the satraps and everything, everybody can just report back to him and I can have a pretty peaceful life. If you think back to the book of Genesis, we see essentially the same thing happen with Joseph. Joseph is in the prison and he's brought before Pharaoh to interpret a dream. And Pharaoh ends up making him second highest in the kingdom. So that's essentially what's happening here with Daniel. The king has seen good things in him and he's going to make him second highest in the kingdom. Well, like I said, not everybody is happy with everything in leadership. And in this particular case, they were not happy with the idea of a Hebrew slave being over them. Then the high officials and satraps, so these are the other two high officials, and all these 120 people sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. So Daniel's integrity held up, and they couldn't find anything to make up a complaint about. I don't know how many of you have been in leadership before, but it seems as though a lot of times when you're in leadership, even if you're trying to do the best thing for the most amount of people, not everybody's going to be happy with it. And sometimes people come up with ridiculous things to try to bring down a leader or to get them replaced. And that's what this situation is. They're not happy with Daniel being in charge. So they're going to try to come up with something that's going to get him in trouble. And because of his integrity and his work ethic and things like that, they couldn't find anything in him. So they realize that they're going to have to go a different way if they want to get Daniel to trip up. So it says, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we can find it in connection with the law of his God. Now, I want to remind you, last week I mentioned Daniel's probably between 80 and 82 years old right now. So they're looking to mess up the life of an old man at this point. All right. Which seems even worse. But they knew that they weren't going to find anything about his work ethic or anything like that. If they were going to find anything to bring Daniel down, it was going to be in regard to the law of his God. Verse 6, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, the counselors and governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever made petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. All right, so here's what they come to the king and say. We're all in agreement that you are the only person that should be worshipped. No god, no other god should be worshipped. Nobody should make any prayers or petitions to anybody else except to you. All of us high officials and all of us satraps are in agreement. Well, there's a problem with that because what they brought to the king did not represent Daniel's position at all, right? Daniel was a Hebrew. We saw back in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they refused to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar that he told everybody they needed to worship. And so the same situation is going on here with Daniel, where these people are going to make a law that is going to cause Daniel to have to make a decision about his convictions. Okay, now we remember from Daniel chapter 1, Daniel, when he was just about 16 years old, set resolutely in his heart that he was not going to do anything that would dishonor God. So now, almost 65, 67 years later, we've got Daniel again, and the same sort of challenge is being put before him. Is he going to be faithful to God? These people have come and they've misrepresented Daniel in what they've said. All right, verse 8. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medians and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. So essentially, Darius signs an executive order for the next 30 days that for the next 30 days, nobody can worship anyone else except for him. All right. Now, Darius is completely being used as a pawn here by these people. He has accepted their flattery and he's just gone along with it. It's basically like he just took for granted that these people were coming to him honest and doing the right thing. And so he just signs off on this document. Now, the law of the Medians and Persians meant that once he signed that document, it couldn't be changed, not even by him. Okay? So even if all of a sudden he realized that something was wrong with this rule, because he had signed it, for the next 30 days, there was nothing he could do to change it. All right. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, all right, so Daniel was well aware that the document had been signed, even though it didn't represent his position, he knew it had been signed. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chambers open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God. So Daniel knew that this law had been signed, that nobody could be worshipped except for King Darius, and yet he still willingly went to his house and worshipped God. Now, he's worshipping God in private. It's in his home that he's worshipping God, but he's still breaking this law because he recognized that this law was specifically unjust to the Hebrews because God had said, "You shall worship no other gods besides me." But there's a little phrase here that I want to make sure that we don't miss. And it's right at the end of verse 10. It says, okay, he got down on his knees three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Okay, this was not something new for Daniel. Daniel didn't go to his house and all of a sudden begin praying and worshiping God. He continued in doing what he had done already. It's not like he said, well, this guy made an unjust law, and so I'm going to begin to disobey it. He continued what he had been doing already. Okay, verse 11. Then these men came in agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Okay, so verse 11 tells us that Daniel is worshiping in his own home, And these people come to his home to get him and drag him before the king and accuse him of breaking the law of the Medians and Persians. That's how badly they wanted him out of leadership. They wanted him out of leadership so badly, they were willing to do something completely disgusting, go to his own home and rip him out of his home because he was praying to God Most High. Verse 12, then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Now, notice what they do here. They don't tell the king that they're bringing him Daniel. They make him confirm, first of all, didn't you make this law? Isn't this a law of the Medians and Persians, which not even you can break, because they knew how important Daniel was to the king. So the first thing they say was, we just want to make sure that we got this straight, okay? Didn't you sign a law that said something like, nobody can worship any god except for you or something like that? Well, yeah, they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew before he even signed this law what they were doing. They were trying to set Daniel up. All right. They say, didn't you sign an injunction that anybody who makes petition to anyone except for you for the next 30 days during your executive order, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing stands fast according to the law of the Medians and Persians, which cannot be revoked. In other words, I'm not making any exceptions to this. If anybody is doing it, then they're getting cast into the den. Verse 13, they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Here's the king's reaction. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. So never in the king's wildest imagination did he think that they were going to use this against Daniel, because Daniel had, like they said, distinguished himself because of the great spirit that he had. And so the king never even anticipated that they would use this law to get Daniel. And because of that, he was very distressed. And it says he labored till sundown to rescue him. So the king went above and beyond trying to figure out any way possible that he might be able to change this law. But the problem was he had made a commitment to it and he needed to follow through with it. So these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that this is the law of the Medians and Persians and that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signet rings of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. So they seal it so that nobody can mess with it. You're kind of like the tomb when Jesus was buried. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. In this translation, this is the English Standard Version, it says the king was fasting about this. Other translations say that he didn't want anything to eat. I think that that's probably more accurate. I don't think that the king was probably fasting in the way that we fast, where we set aside something in order to see God move. I think that the king was so distraught in this situation that he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, he didn't want any entertainment, he was just so worried about what was happening to Daniel. Then, at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. So, first thing in the morning, the very first thing the king does is he gets up and he makes a beeline for the lion's den. And as he came near to the den where he was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. So that goes right along with that idea that he didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he didn't do anything. He was so distraught about what was going on. He cries out in a tone of anguish, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Been able to deliver you. Obviously, that king didn't know our God. Because our God is definitely able. In fact, I asked Pastor Andy to choose God is Able as one of the songs for the worship set, because we need that reminder often that God is able. All it takes is a little bit of a supernatural injection into the situation, and God works things out. He works things together for good. Now, I do want to point out also, remember, Daniel knew that he was breaking the law, and he knew that there might possibly be consequences to breaking the law, including being thrown in the lion's den. And yet he still made that choice to break the law because it was about the worship of God. It was about how much he believed in his God. Daniel stood on the conviction that even if he had to go to his death, he was still not going to defile God. So he goes to the lion's den, not kicking and screaming, but willingly, knowing that the worst thing that could possibly happen here is that he would be killed by the lions and stand before God confidently and say, I did not deny you in the things that I did. All right. So Daniel doesn't fight and kick and scream against his law. He just continues doing what he had done, and he gets tossed into the lion's den. And that next morning, the king runs to the lion's den, and verse 21, then Daniel, so 80 to 82 year old Daniel in the lion's den, replies to this king who is 62, we learn from the end of chapter 5, who's 62. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. In other words, God rescued me because I haven't done anything wrong to him. And you know, king, that I haven't done anything wrong to you either. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him because, for the end of verse 23, he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. That's kind of gross. I'm not going to get into why Darius did what he did, except to say that I think he was setting an example for what was going to happen if anybody else tried to pull something like that on him again. But what this does show here is that the lions immediately attacked, which means that it wasn't just that they weren't hungry when Daniel was put in the lion's den. Daniel was supernaturally delivered from this situation where he ought to have been destroyed. All right, so verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus of Persia. All right. So that's Daniel chapter 6. Now, I just want to relate it for just a moment to a couple things from the book of Acts. You might remember from the book of Acts that that the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin, and there was a time where they were beaten because they were not willing to stop sharing Jesus Christ. They were given an order that said, do not share this name anymore. And they refused. You might remember the statement, we will, is it better to serve God or to serve men? And they made a decision that they were not going to defile God by obeying a law that disobeyed God's command. All right. They knew that there was going to be consequences for that, and they accepted those consequences. In fact, they were beaten for it, and when they did, verse 41 of Acts chapter 5, then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer for the name. Just two chapters later, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen stands before a bunch of people and gives testimony of Jesus Christ. And they stone him to death. And you might remember right at the end of Stephen's life, he sees the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. I wonder if Jesus wasn't doing a slow clap. You know, something like that. Just waiting for Stephen to enter into his presence, accepting what he's doing as worthy. But remember, the last thing that Stephen says is, do not hold this sin against them. All right. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, we have this example, and this is what I want to mostly portray here is we see in Daniel the same thing that we saw in our Lord Jesus Christ when he was suffering. Daniel knew what he was doing. He knew that he couldn't disobey God and accept this law of men. He needed to stand up and worship God. And so he continued doing what he had been doing. It wasn't something new. And he knew that there was going to be consequences for it. So he got tossed into the lion's den. And because he trusted in his God, God delivered him. Remember Paul said. He said, essentially, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, they can kill me, but they can't kill my spirit. Jesus said, do not fear ones who can kill the body, but fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell, right? Here's what the example that we see in Jesus. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Again, in chapter 4, he writes, Beloved, this is Peter, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as far as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a good, to a faithful Creator while doing good. Here's the bottom line. You shouldn't intentionally go out and break the law. Okay, but if there's an unjust law that dishonors God, and you continue what you were already doing and in turn break it, and you end up suffering for that, you shouldn't kick against that suffering. Just like Jesus didn't kick against the suffering that he received, knowing that he was going against the will of the Pharisees, but he was doing the will of God. Just like Daniel didn't kick against the will of the satraps, though he was doing the will of God, that's our calling. If we suffer unjustly, which I think we rarely do, but if we suffer unjustly, just like Paul, just like Peter, just like Daniel, just like Jesus, We entrust ourselves to the one who can save our souls while continuing to do good. Okay? That way, even if they do take our life, we can still stand before him and say, Lord, I did the best I could to bring you glory in this situation. So if you find yourself suffering, just continue to trust in God and continue to do what you know is right. And may God be glorified by our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples of Daniel, Jesus, Peter, Paul, the rest of the apostles, and those martyrs who have suffered for your name, Lord. We don't have to suffer anywhere near what they've gone through, Lord. But sometimes even the little bit of suffering that we go through is difficult. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us when we do suffer. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to glorify your name. Help us to know what is right and to do it, Lord, that your name may be glorified in this whole earth. We worship you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's all I've got for you today. Next week, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to look at possibly what one of those prayers might have been when Daniel was going to his house and praying to God 3 times a day. All right, I love you. I will see you soon. Have a great week.